perfume is the message. Money makes a dance. Love is the product. The joke is in. The joke is in. The joke is in your face.
I'm Are You Serious? And this is my show.
Natural disasters, and eventually the end of the world.
Are you serious?
You know, if they grew up after childhood because of massive infanticide, you know, had their feet bound, you know, were sent off into brothels and prostitutes as because they weren't as valuable as men. And by 1975, we're producing world-class operas and with regular feet, had the right to divorce. We're getting equal pay as men. We're basically like not only brought forward in equality with men, but we're leading some of the teams that during the Great Leap Forward built the Red Flag Canal. You know, they had this Iron Women's Battalion taking on the strongest and the most difficult jobs, climbing up mountains and dynamiting holes in the mountain to divert this river from an area that was very rich to include other communes that weren't so rich. This was what part of the Great Leap Forward was.
So was there no coercion involved in those achievements, though?
No. I mean, essentially, I mean, not to say luck.
You've got state power. I mean, that's a strange thing. If you want state power, what are you going to... You're going to use it, right? And how are you going to use that state power?
You're going to
coerce people.
Yeah. Were equal in exploitation.
See, Avakian's arguing, oh, yeah. And he has through all these books, look, if you're going to coerce people, why even bother? And if that's
well, then how are you going to use the state power? What are you going to do with it that doesn't involve coercion?
I guess that's one thing. You're going to like, you want to move humanity to the place where coercion is no longer necessary.
My friend Andre Teeter, the Maoist, on perhaps one of our more unusual shows in the sense that really comes out of, I guess, what you could call left field. And
that's extreme enough of a explanation.
What's sort of interesting to me is that in starting the show, I sort of had the idea that we would really be going all over the map with our guests, and we have sort of tended towards bringing in our counterculture crowd rather than just going way out in all different directions politically. And here we have a guy who advocates Maoism, and the reputation of Maoism just keeps getting worse and worse. A recent book, apparently just published a few months ago, I think has it now at 30 million people that Chairman Mao is supposed to have killed.
30 million?
30 million. And basically, I mean, the new...
Does that make him the new, like, you know, champ as far as...
I think he would be the number... And,
I don't know what's the record of all this.
Actually, people of the world die.
I think he's got the record if all this is true.
Yeah,
I don't know what to make of it because, I mean, you sort of got the Holocaust thing where that... People sort of looked at that, and the Nazis kept records, and they came up with a figure a long time ago. And here, I think, both with Stalin and Mao, the numbers keep growing as communism comes more and more into disrepute.
Does that mean
be a little skeptical of it? I'm not entirely
skeptical of it. The question is it a matter of certain documents that become declassified, or is it like evidence of more graves?
How people talk about it,
right.
And different reports from different communities and so
forth.
What to make of it all. Also, I mean...
Long ago, though, right?
Yeah, apparently.
Oh, yeah, but that, you know, it's funny that we're talking about this today as we record this. The day they announced that Pinochet just finally fucking dropped dead at the age of 91. And
is he dead?
Yeah, he finally fucking dropped dead.
Are we sure? Because
yes.
We're always killing 91. People on the show, and then they're alive again.
Yeah, they're old. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, unless he's, you know, Dracula and part of the undead, you know, which could be possible, but like that...
He had the look.
That name... like strikes fear in the hearts of Chileans. And I guarantee you, it's going to.
Still,
though,
he's got nothing on 30 million.
Yeah.
No. I'm just
and maybe and still counting.
No. So I'm saying that you're saying it's been so long, and I'm saying
well,
that
since Mao.
Well, but you're talking about a matter of scale, so you can't.
Well,
so,
what I was also suggesting is that it's difficult to know for sure what the number was because it was so long ago. I mean, people who have accurate information are now dead, and other people who are alive, their memories are failing. Is it just? I don't know. You know, where does this information?
Yeah,
come
how
from,
do they the how do they come up with these figures? This is an interesting. Interesting question. I mean, and
but does it matter? I don't know. I mean, the old number versus the new number. Once you get into the millions, what the fuck? I mean, even before that, I don't know. Killing one person is to me not much different than killing a million.
Well, I mean, the other thing that sort of intrigues me is that I think most of us are like pretty comfortable like hanging out with communists who say, yeah, Mao was cool, or Stalin was cool, or whatever, whereas we wouldn't be so comfortable hanging out with Nazis.
I'm not comfortable with that.
Really?
Yeah, you know, and it's funny because I was going to bring up the there's a slight generational thing going here, like where I think that the name and the concept of Mao carries a romance to you that it doesn't to me. My whole association of Mao Zedong was this syphilis-ridden fucking dictator who plowed over his people, you know, so like...
And plowed a lot of 13- and 14-year-old girls, according to the...
Well, you know, so did Jerry Lee Lewis, and God bless him, but... You know, yeah. So I mean, it doesn't really. It's a whole other view that I have.
But what's interesting is like some very cool people in terms of the arts, in terms of the civil rights movement, and so forth. Were Marxist Leninists and mm-hmm. said, you know, Stalin was all right. And
yeah, I think that
made excuses, and it's interesting to me because I mean, if you think about Nazism, then you think, okay, hate, racism, militarism. This is what these people. Believe in. If you think about communism, you think that the people are idealistic, and yet the results are
The similarity is that you've got the subjugation of the individual to the collective,
right?
And whatever is the good, what is perceived as the good
of the state.
It's not just the state; it's even more abstract than that. Because you know, like whenever you say communism, you can abstract away from any particular communist, like Mao or Stalin or whatever, and right. you can say, well, they just, of course, they murdered people, therefore that wasn't so hot. But right. what the ideal of communism is that there's a larger good, but that right. itself is the problem because. Right. Really, some person somewhere has to make the decision of what is the good of the collective. There really is no entity
it's
of the collective. Then that's
it's basically it the same.
To sound like
it's
Ayn Rand,
I mean, it's something that would change constantly based on those ever-shifting needs of the individual.
The end result is the same. You know,
yeah, you get a massive. You get large groups of people focusing on smaller groups of people or individuals and snuffing them out because they're not for the larger good. They're against it. And
see, I've always considered that just leftist propaganda bullshit that was just spawned by like this kind of like
what?
Need to identify this. Oh, like Stalin was cool and Mao was cool and like but because they were considered actually, enemies of our state, right. and so. The other enemies of our state, which were fucking hippies, like identified with these guys, you know, where they wouldn't with Hitler's a little bit, but you know what?
In the late 60s, it became the third world revolutionaries. It was Stalin was out, Russia was out, but there was the romance of the third world, and you know,
yes.
and how can we possibly judge? You know,
and it was standing.
Yeah,
up
well, here's how you judge when you, there's a mass Castro grave has, like has fucking them. 3 miles deep, filled with fucking peasants.
It doesn't matter. You take the ideals of the United States, and you juxtapose that with the number of people that we've killed since our existence. You can use the exact same logic. You can disrepute any political ideal that has ever existed.
Well, this is an interesting point.
I'm not saying like yay us. I'm just saying that this is. No, I'm not. I'm saying that I'm providing a justification for those people that like you would trot out Mao because they're you know of course they're going to identify with them. The enemy of my enemy is my friend, and they're both sharing a common enemy.
Yeah, but also
the
reason that they're opposing sometimes is for different reasons. For instance, like they're against colonialism or imperialism, which the United States has practiced. It's not necessarily, they're the
they're
enemy
cool.
of my enemy. Yeah, it's like.
No, I think it's totally.
Or we're the anti-US,
and I think that there's also a parallel between elements of the right wing that'll like under their breath say, well, you know, Hitler was really efficient, you know, and stuff like that. And of course, right wing guys, pundits have been caught, you know, saying, you know, just coming up short of like what they consider empathy with Hitler, but then saying, you know, hey, but he had a great filing system. And, you know, it's
but Jeffrey's an interesting point. And, you know, how many people have, say, the United States killed, or I mean, there's this thing called the Black Book on communism, and there could be a Black Book on capitalism. How do you analyze that? Because when they count the 30 million with Mao, and when they count the number of people killed by Stalin, they're counting people who were starved to death by policies, as well as people who were killed
out and out
by the government. Right. And most of those people are people who were killed by policies. So in some sense, sanctions, you could turn around, you could start, right, you could, you know, well, the Irish potato famine, or, sure, you know, and then how do you begin to analyze it, really?
Some people might say, you know, the farmers are certain.
But you can, well, you can point to the state when the state is in complete control, and you can blame them more easily, I guess.
Yeah, and of course, you know, there's a certain lack of navel gazing. I haven't heard a single, there's not a common statistic. I think there's a common statistic for the Holocaust that says, right, 5 million, I think, 5 million Jews.
6 million.
6 million Jews, that's it. Right. But
what, are you some kind of denier? Fucking
no, I'm saying there's an accepted number. I'm saying, although there is, there are like things you can add on to it. Like there are Russian elements that don't often get added into the Holocaust that would, right, even actually make it bigger, that number even bigger. But there's not a really identifiable number for our own genocide of, you know, of,
well,
American
is,
Indian culture. I mean, there's, yeah, not a, there's, people don't go,
not just that one, but I mean, the thing is that in the United States history, it's not commonly accepted that we've ever changed regimes. So like in all these other cases, you've had switches and even types of government from right, the world perspective historically. But here in the United States, we,
well, China
have this
hasn't
myth,
officially changed regimes.
Well, it went communist at some point, right?
Oh, I see. I thought you were talking about after Mao.
Yeah, it hasn't. Communism hasn't ended there yet. Right. But I mean, the point is here, like, well, there seems to be this continuousness, right, of continuity of regime here, or not regime, but, you know, type of government, at least, or, you know, it's a constitutional republic, we'd like to think. Right. So nobody is really too set on counting up all the numbers of people that we've killed.
Well, and here's
it's
an
not over yet.
And here's an underlying part of that, mm-hmm, because of our representational government. There is ultimately the responsibility for any policy that we put forth that results in the death of people is the fault of our own
people.
Be
careful what you're saying there, my friend, because I can call you on some serious hypocrisy if you continue down that line.
What are you talking about?
I won't bring it up right now because it's, you know.
You're totally
you don't brush your teeth.
9/11 was justified is basically the implication that flows from what you're saying.
No. I'm saying that active policy that our government puts forth that results in death. I'm talking about of other people or of our own people.
So that means everybody in the towers was responsible for everything that happened against Arabs.
I'm saying that there's an accountability diffusion level, because no single leader is absolutely responsible, because the leader was placed there by the people. So it's a different,
were they really?
Yes, they were. whether no matter what the factors involved,
hanging
they were
aside.
Hanging chads aside. So but with somebody like Mao, I mean, it's a different kind of story, whereas
I think
the
Mao,
buck
Mao
stops
was actually
with Mao,
quite a popular, know, leader when he he took was over the country.
And let's not forget Hitler was voted into power as well.
No, but I'm talking about that there's an absolution of power that comes with that kind of position that an American president isn't afforded.
Well, as far as we know, I really don't know.
That's true.
But also,
Dude, we took down Nixon, man. We took down Nixon. Nixon was about to employ the army around the White House to protect himself from fucking impeachment.
But did Nixon take down Jimi Hendrix?
Love is the only weapon. Shit!
Are you serious?